The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are wondering when our first guest is coming. We have Terrence McKinney making his fourth appearance on the show, which is nice. And Anthony Sims Jr. making his first appearance. He is a boxer who did kickbox at one point, but he has a tremendously long boxing record.
He started, and, I heard, with kickboxing.
He did, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So he knows how to kick. I want to know if he knows any wrestling or jiu-jitsu. Because he's a boxer, but now he's starting his own promotion. So he's putting on the promoter's hat. I won't do that either.
No, but, that was Matt. Matt actually mimed. If you want to know what does it look like when someone puts a hat on, Matt has it perfect. I mean, he picked the hat up and he pulled it down heartily on each side.
I did. I'd like to do that. And he's trying promoting. He's doing promoting. And now I wonder if he'd ever be interested in. He's a young kid.
He's 29. 30. Yeah.
He's not 30. Understand?
Yeah.
Pushing 30. I'm pushing 50.
Well, you look young, though. You act young. You have abs. For those of you who don't know, Matt, when he's not putting on fake hats, is showing off his abdominals. And come he's on. Removing his shirt now.
Yeah. Come on. Stop. Anyway, I'll put it back on. Jimmy.
I'm not confident enough to do that.
We had a little back and forth last week. Is that me? That's not CGI, bro.
No, that's you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you thought maybe something happened to your computer and all of a sudden 300's on? Oh, take from them everything. Give them nothing. No, he said it.
Is that from 300?
He said it differently than that.
Oh.
And that was my Leonardo's.
I didn't. No, that's not what I thought. I was like, did I wind up on a male escort site? There's a...
Oh shit. Anyway,
we did have a back and forth. Yeah, hopefully next week we can make this happen. I was just talking about it today.
You know what's funny? My weeks have been a little crazy. I want to know when they're doing the women's classes over at the Henzo Gracie headquarters in Manhattan, because I want to take my oldest there, my 15-year-old. She's got a match coming up, so she's homeschooled. I take her in the mornings with me, so she's been going like 5:30 in the morning, getting doubles in. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm not Earl Woods or anything. You understand? I'm not exactly forcing her. She's enjoying this.
Yep.
You know, it's fun, Jimmy.
5:30. You know? Wait, you have a class at 5:30?
Well, I get up. I leave around she likes to start off with some cardio. She'll jump on the elliptical and the treadmill. And then, I do my steam, my whole thing. And then she'll, or else like tomorrow, she'll do a private lesson with my Jedi Sue, with one of my black belts, Anthony Palacino. And, I'm calling her Sarah 2.0 because me, I'm an old school jiu-jitsu guy. And I got beautiful jiu-jitsu. We all know that.
Yes, we do.
You know, for the cutting edge, the latest thing coming out of competition, I like those guys with their ears, their Cali ears to the mat. Did you hear what I said there, Jimmy?
Yes, you caught the cauliflower ears to the mat. Yeah,
that's what we call jiu-jitsu humor. I'm still going.
Now, what time do you guys What time do you get up in the morning to get there so early?
Like around? Oh, I get up like 5:15, 5:20.
Wow.
You know, and with me, I'm also getting up around 2 to do a number 2. Not TMI, but the audience wants to know why
2 a.m.
Yes, around that, between 2 and 3, hopefully not around 4. I hate when it's 4, because then I'm like, now I'm going to be in the bathroom for possibly 10 minutes, possibly 50.
And you don't have much time to go back to sleep.
I don't go back to sleep, because why would you at that point, Jimmy? So I get there, I get caffeinated up. I get caffeinated up, company guy, all that shit. But Jimmy, I get nuts. I'm not gonna lie to you. Sometimes I'll just yell, six shots, butterfly sweeps to arm locks. Arr! They love it. The guy though, they're people like, yeah. Jimmy, we have fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on anywhere else, but my guys are getting dangerous, and I know they are because I see them pulling off this shit. And we're having fun, and we're getting sweaty. I taught two classes today. I did not roll at all, but guess what I did?
What?
I know how many reps I fucking got in. Do you care?
Do you know what I'm not good at? Scissoring. What? When you have to scissor your legs a certain way, I'm very clumsy with that. No, I know. They're masters of it.
Sorry.
But I'm not good at scissoring out of something.
I'm
working on it.
What are you even talking about, scissoring? Talk to me.
Just scissoring the legs to get out of certain things on the side to, you know, like, I can't
explain. Elbow escaping or sweeping from guard. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like when you're on their side and to scissor and then take the back. Mike was showing me. I'm just not good at it.
I can't see you really getting, like, inverted either.
What do you mean inverted? Which way?
Like going like upside down underneath the legs. Some of the new school shit can get a little funky. I'm gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
You know. But you know, Jimmy, keep it simple. Think about your positions, all right? And then you slap on those subs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying.
Framework and arm locks. I mean, we had some fun today. Jimmy, we got Terrence McKinney. What's nice about Terrence is he was having a rough go for a talented kid. He dropped two in a row. And then he came back in Terrence McKinney fashion. He doesn't like to go bell to bell. Matter of fact, he never has in the UFC. He doesn't like to put the judges to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's how every fighter should think. I mean, there's not one fight, and I'll say this to him, that he can look back on and go, I think I should have won. Or he knows every fight was a win or a loss based on what happened. You know what I mean? Like there's no, they fucked me in the third round there. Like, you know what I mean? He knows exactly. And that's the way it should be. He probably sleeps well at night, regardless.
I sleep well at night. And I sleep well because I've been watching more than once and I've been fast forwarding the parts I like. And I bought Dune on the Prime Video. And you know, I told you a lot how much I like Dune Part 2. I should be more specific.
Who's the guy that stars in that?
Timothy Chalamet. Fuck you, Jimmy. Not fuck you, but why are you? I feel like you make fun of me. No. And I feel like you're an intellectual bully to me.
Never.
Timothy Chalamet. He's also in Wonka.
Yes.
How do you pronounce you pronounce it?
Timothy is right. Timothy Chalamet is right. Timothy, you got his name.
Okay. All right. Good. But he's great. And talk about a little bit embracing the dark side. Like I told you, man. The bad guy in this, Fade Rotha, the one who gets introduced into
Wait,
this.
What's his name?
Fade Rotha. Harkonnen.
Fade Rotha?
You're so negative. Stop it.
No,
I'm
not.
You're in a good mood today. Yes, you are.
Why isn't there ever a villain named Jeff?
How about this? I know he's a real person, but how would you like it if I said this? Ozzy Osbourne. How's that sound?
They're terrible. I don't like it at all.
All right, let's go back to something. All right, listen.
Yeah, you know, Fade Rotha.
Dude, he's a badass. You know how as a kid we were scared of did I talk about this already? If I did, I won't. I talk about but no, we were afraid as a kid when you see Darth Vader like doing the force choke and you're like, and you're like, oh my god, it's scary. Dude, he's straight up now. He's checking his blades out before he goes into the arena. He checks it on his tongue a little bit like this.
Why? That's not necessary.
It's not. Can I finish?
Oh, sorry.
Being rude. Can I finish my story?
I apologize.
The thumb is the thing. So he goes, he's like sadistic. He's like this. This is my. He's like this. And he goes, and there's a girl, one of his assistants. He cuts her throat with it. And then the other one, he goes over, he's like, bah, bah, and she's like, oh.
He killed his assistants?
He dragged them.
What
and then he has his other girlfriends off to the side, little ghouls, and they're like, ugh, they're like cannibals. He's like, ah, give this meat to them. And like, because they're like cannibals. But he's like, dude, that's the bad guys you're dealing with. You know, Josh Brolin said it best. Gunny, his name is Gunny in the thing.
Of course
Gurney,
it is.
Gurney, you know, Gurney. Not Gurney.
Oh, Gurney. Yes, Gurney.
Gurney. He goes, the Hawking is then, you got to be prepared. He said this in the first one. They're not human. He goes, they're brutal. He says like that. They're brutal. I'm a big Josh Brolin is so good in these movies.
I will watch them. I see Fade Rafa. He looks like me.
You see, he looks like you if you were like took the
in shape.
If you got a little bit bigger, Jimmy, you could be like Fade Rafa's like a little mini. Yeah.
I don't want to be Fade. That's already his name. I'll change my name.
I could see you as a little Harkonnen.
Pete Rafa.
No, that's not good. That's not. First of all, the Harkonnens, they're not going to name their son Pete. Fade is like,
it's F-E-Y-D, of course.
I'm not going to give nothing away, but he does fight Timothy Chalamet at the end. And it's so cool. Christopher Walken is in it. He's the emperor.
Oh!
And that's the worst. That's not a great.
Timmy. Oh, no. You're so androgynous. Oh!
I don't know what that word means. And also,
it's kind of like male and female. Timothy has that energy.
How dare you? Dude, Paul Atreides.
I'll watch it. Wait, what's his name?
It's almost like he was from the old country. No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. He was the bad guy in it.
That's Javier Bardem.
He's almost like the Obi-Wan Kenobi to like Paul Atreides. He's teaching him the ways of the desert, you know? And at one point, when he's trying to be like, look, man, I don't believe in this whole me being the Messiah thing. Paul Atreides is very humble. And he goes, I don't care if you believe. I believe. Don't cough when I say, Jimmy.
There's sorry.
A very powerful part when he says that. It almost gets me emotional.
I don't care if you believe. I believe.
No,
you may not believe, but I believe.
Not a leprechaun, Jimmy. No.
All right. I'm sorry.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Did you watch the Roadhouse yet with Conor McGregor?
No, I didn't. I don't even think I saw the original. It's crazy.
What kind of guy are you to have to support some people in the former fighters and whatnot? I mean, fighters. He's fighting still. But how come you don't support the fucking the UFC? This guy's about a UFC, former UFC fighter. Jake Ellenberger. No, it's not Jake Ellenberger. Fucking Jake. What's his name?
Gyllenhaal.
I like him. He's
very good. Yeah.
It's a fun, listen, it's almost like a throwback 80s movie. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
And listen, people say I hate O'Connor. He's good at it. He really is.
Is he going to redo a lot of Swayze movies? What? Dirty Dancing.
Imagine him in Dirty Dancing next.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
He throws her out the window.
There's a twist on it.
Yeah, maybe I'll see it. By the way, we do have fights. We had no fights this Saturday, which was very strange. And here's why we didn't have fights. It's because I took off and I didn't. I only was in the city. That's why I did not. Oh, that's interesting. McGregor's 303, of course, against International Fight Week, fighting Chandler. They just added Jamahal Hill against Khalil Roundtree. That's a very fucking interesting fight on UFC 303.
Do you think Jamahal Hill will come back and redeem himself with the fans? Or do you think Khalil won't like it? Rock the Casbah. Rock the Casbah. Khalil won't like it. Rock the Casbah. Jimmy, I'm doing this. Don't you like to have fun with me?
I do.
Is this fun? How come you don't invite me back to Sam and Jim and Sam?
Anytime, we would love to have you, Matt.
I know why I bring it up. I brought up three times already. Anytime.
You're right. Let me tell
you.
That's
like saying, hey, what do you want to get together anytime? You don't really mean it.
No, you know what?
I don't mean it.
Matt Serra would like to come back in.
No. Change that recording. Fuck that. No.
Okay. I'll change it. You're right.
No, I don't agree with that.
You're right. I'll send it to my producer.
What are you going to change? What are you going to say?
Hi, Travis. I realize I have been negligent in pursuing Matt Serra, who the fans love, comma. Let's see if we can get him in.
Now, that's way better. Now, go back on your phone and delete the first message. You're going to send him the first message.
No, I didn't send him the first one. I deleted it. It didn't go.
Listen, can I just tell you, and I'm not, yes, I am. I am bragging. I'm just going to say it. I could be a bragging. When I go on that show, people bring it up to me. I want you to know that because I don't know if you know the people in the street talking about your show. They bring it up to me and they say how much they enjoy me on the show.
They bring it up to us too. And our answer is always because we like him.
I know what I just realized. I think I like it better when you're a little bit tired or something, a little grumpy, because you're always funny, but you're less mean.
No, I would love you to come back on, Matt.
You're kind of using me as a short, stocky, heavy man.
No. We would love to have you on, and just you, because last time we had Natasha Leggero was very funny. She loved you, but I would love to have you on. Just you come in hang for the whole morning if you want.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Travis will be in touch, and if he doesn't,
he's making me die, man. So so the other night, Longo stops over with his wife, the Sarah BJJ. Now you gotta understand. You might say, well, what's the big deal about that? Didn't you tell me he lives like less than a few miles from the academy? Yeah, that's all true. But he doesn't stop by ever. He might have stopped by. Well, back when he's sparring and stuff. Like,
sure.
So I go, come by. He goes, 50-50, which means no, usually. And then he stops. So, but lo and behold, he came by watching my daughter in the wrestling class. And it's nice. She's actually, Angelina's. She's got like a bond with Longo. It's like her favorite uncle.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't even say that. Uncle Edwin's a very good uncle, also.
Sure.
But Uncle Jimmy doesn't come around a lot.
Oh no, Uncle Jimmy. The traffic is just too bad. I wish Matt would move to the city. That's probably a big ask.
Well, listen. I think that. How about this? We will make this happen, me visiting you in the city.
I would love that.
Because I'm looking, you know why? Because I do like to go. I feel like it's going home too, because being Master Henzo's first American black belt, I go there, I get a lot of hugs. You know Black Rob? He calls himself.
I see him four times a week. I love him.
I'm sure he's a hugger. Does he hug you?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, yeah. I talk to him a lot, actually.
All right. Does he know that we're buddies, me and you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he does.
All right. I mean, listen, if he's already treating you good, that's fine.
Yeah,
I name drop me.
I'm sure he does. I think because I'm up there 4 days a week. So I think he knows my I'm actually paying for my training right now.
You know who I are you taking regular classes besides your?
No. And the reason I haven't is because the timing. In order for me to get here, I have to be out at a certain time and the classes start too late. So I do four privates a week.
You know, and it's funny, we're talking about Longo. I don't know, how does he know that you're talking to him? Did I tell him that?
You might have mentioned it, or we might have come up, yeah.
He thinks it's great that you're training. He told me that. He goes, that's really great. By the way, back to Jamal Hill versus Khalil
Roundtree, yeah.
I'm sorry. Jamal Hill versus Roundtree, that's a very dangerous fight to have coming off of his first knockout loss.
Yeah, yep.
Because Khalil Roundtree, what has his last few fights been? Do we have any?
I'm looking that up, right? It's funny, as you mentioned, he fucking TKO of Anthony Smith, TKO of Chris Daukaus.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's never looked better, and I'm not stealing that. I remember even watching the thing. People, the commentator who commentated, but they even said five fight winning streak. Guys, listen, I got some shit on my Instagram because I posted a thing with Jamal Hill on here, and I was picking him to win. And dude, I'll take my hits. It's fine.
Yeah, I picked him too.
I'm not jumping off the Jamal Hill fucking train. I think he's so talented, and I think this is the game we play. I'll tell you, Alex Pereira, though, all props to him. I'm
crazy how good he looks, yeah.
He's just it is funny. I believe it was Chael Sonnen. I'm 99% sure. I'm going to say it was. That brought up the fact of when it was Herb Dean, right?
That I think so. I don't
dropped him when it was almost a low blow. That after that, I'd have really threw off Jamal Hill for that split second and then getting caught because he was circling, doing things right, and they keep me at distance. That happened. It's a reset, and then he gets caught immediately. So it is a listen. Protect yourself at all times. We all know that.
Yep.
But I think it's very interesting that Chael Sonnen said that, and I think it's very smart that he said that because that is an interesting take on it, you know, because okay, man, you're fighting. What do you expect is going to happen when you restart? But it could have thrown off the rhythm that just that much, and that's all you need with a guy that accurate and deadly as Alex Pereira.
Yeah, possible. I mean, I think Jamal alluded to that too. But, I mean, I think so. But then again, even though that could very well be true, the idea of Alex Pereira getting kicked in the dick and then going, I got this, Herb, it kind of all comes out in the wash. Like, you know what I mean? Because for him, he almost got stopped too, but he was locking in and he took a cup kick and didn't take any break because he felt like he was locked in, which is, to me, that's one of the greatest moments I've ever seen, was just that hand going up telling Herb, don't fucking, I'm all right, I'm fine. But yeah, Jamal Hill against Khalil is a very tough fight. And Khalil has won five straight, and only one has been a decision. The other four have been TKOs, leg kick, body kick and punches over Roberson, and then Dawkins and Smith punches. But I mean, two fights in a row were leg kicks and then body kicks and punches. So he's beating guys standing all kinds of ways.
It shows you the confidence of Jamal Hill that he's taking that fight.
Yep.
I like it, you know. And Jamal Hill, we haven't spoken to you. I know you're getting a lot of shit right now. Dude, you're fucking hell. I like that what he put out there. He's like, look, man, I dared greatly. Came up short, but, you know, let's keep going, you know. I mean, that's the thing. It's high risk, high reward. When you win, people are hoisting you up. When you lose, people are like, you're not that good. You know, it's the game we play, Jimmy.
Anthony Sims. I'm sorry, man. I thought you saw. Anthony Sims Jr. is in the waiting room.
Oh.
We will bring him in. Terrence McKinney was going to come on, but maybe he still will. But sometimes these guys get days mixed up or the time zone screw us up. So we'll see. Either way. Like, yeah, we love Terrence. So if he makes it, great. If not, we'll do him next week.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Nice to meet you, Anthony.
Nice to meet you, man. How you doing, Jim?
We're very good. I haven't watched boxing as much in the years. Super middleweight. What is that? What is that weight?
Super middleweight is 168.
168.
Yes,
and
sir.
I was looking at your record, and you were 214 and like 14 or something in the amateurs before you turned pro.
Yeah, that was one of my past books. I actually have about 300 amateur fights.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, like, how old were you when you started fighting? You're only 29 years old, and yes, how sir. Often would you fight?
So I had my first fight at 6 years old, but it was an exhibition.
And what was that?
45 pounds.
That was boxing?
Yes, sir, professional boxing. But before that, I started off doing karate.
Oh, yeah. You know what we thought? Was it kickboxing or karate?
I did kickboxing, then karate, then boxing.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, you're a young guy. Being that you did do some other arts before boxing, did you ever get itchy about trying some MMA? Did it ever cross your mind? I don't know if you ever messed around with wrestling or grappling.
I didn't do any wrestling, but the Muay Thai part, I like the knees, I like the elbows, I like locks, but the ground game, you know, I couldn't get it. You know, I couldn't get used to that. That's something
I got to
be brought up into.
Yeah, so right, it's true.
So your goal, basically, if you have an issue with somebody, your goal is to just not go to the ground. You find a way to keep it. And in boxing, of course, they're going to stamp. I mean, in real life, if something happens, you know how to avoid going to the ground.
Yeah, but that's the crazy part about boxing. You know, people look at boxing, they say it's harder than UFC. I kind of disagree because with boxing, you only have to worry about from the waist up. UFC, Muay Thai, any of that, you know, type of stuff, martial arts, you got to worry about flying knees, kicks, shin kicks, kicks to the head, a front kick, a whole toe going in your mouth. You know, I don't really like kicks to the face.
I think that's very honest of you. And I think there's a reason why some of the MMA guys go, yeah, I'll try the boxing.
Yeah.
And they have, so, you know, but the boxers aren't jumping in the cage too. And it's smart though, because they're experts with their, you know, with their pugilists, but you know, it's, you're just adding so many different tools. And like you said, with the grappling, if you didn't get started, you saw like that with like Kimbo Slice. He tried to play catch up with the grappling at a very late age. And it was very difficult at that point, you know?
I mean, I feel like learning that art, the form, that's true patience. Someone pinning you on the ground, that's not something you learn at 20 years old.
It's true. It takes time. Let me ask you, what made you get interested in trying the promoter's hat on? Because you're starting your own promoter. Did you promote yet, or are you starting it up now?
Yes, I had my second fight just yesterday.
Did you really? Your second event?
Yes, sir.
So tell me about your first event. How nerve-wracking was that? Was it like your first fight? How was it?
So much nerve-wracking. It was just like there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people don't see, especially as a promoter. So it's just like talking to the matchmakers, talking, getting all the B-sides, you know, their physicals, their federal ID, the insurance, you know, the venue insurance, renting the venue. So much goes behind it.
Even little things. Now, let me ask you, because I own a jiu-jitsu school. I don't go behind the desk. I got some people there. Otherwise, fuck, man. No, I'm not. Nobody's going to pay. Oh, this guy has a problem. What do you do when they're like, Anthony, come on. I just need 5 more tickets. Come on. What do you do? You have somebody who's, look, I don't handle the tickets, because you know everybody and their mother is going to be asking for free.
Everybody wants something, yes.
How do you be stern in that regard?
If they want 5 tickets, actually 10 tickets, I say to them, give me 5 minutes. Put the gloves on. Give me 5 minutes.
That's right. 5 tickets. There you go. Suddenly they're breaking out their fucking wallets.
Be honest, like, you know, putting on a promoter hat, I have to understand it's not personal, it's business. So, you know, I speak to them, give them the respect they deserve. And then the same, I try to school them, like, look, you know, with these big promoters, Matchroom, Bench Alone, Boxer, Top Rank, they're not going to give you anything for free. So best use to get used to it right now before you get to that level.
Have you ever spoken to like Don King or Aram or any of those guys?
I was actually signed with Don King.
Okay, so you don't. Yes,
I signed with Don King early in my career. Yes, sir.
So were you able to? Because he is. I mean, people can say what they like about Don King. He makes fights happen, and I mean, and he really. I mean, there's probably nobody that knows the ins and outs as well. Were you able to pick his brain a little bit or learn from watching the way he would get things done?
That was the best thing that I did. I say signing with him. So when I did sign with him, I didn't get a fight. You know. There's things going on, but he taught me everything about the business. And everything about the business has nothing to do with the business. That's the craziest part. Everything has to do with the promotion business has nothing to do with boxing.
Now, explain, can you go a little bit further into that? That's interesting.
So it's like, for instance, with boxing or, say, UFC fighting, the better individual you become outside the ring, the better person you become inside the ring. So, like, when I got a girlfriend or a fiance, my life dramatically changed, and I'm consistent, I'm honest, I'm committed. So now I'm taking that same flow into boxing. So promotion, you know, Don King taught me, listen, you speak to people, look them in the eye. Don't say yes to everything. You know, get used to just maneuvering a certain way outside the ring. So when you go into this business, you'll be prepared to deal with people asking for things, calling you or blowing up your phone, because, you know, you're prepared now. It's like day-to-day life. I don't really change how I act when I get to, you know, promotion business, because I'm the same person every day.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes. You know? Yeah, and not don't always say yes makes sense too, because it is hard to say no. And if you yes everybody to death, you're gonna have to kind of give them the no behind their back, because you can't say yes to everything.
Yes.
So it's probably better just to let people hear you go, no, look, I'm not able to do that.
No, The hardest part with, I say, with fighters is they get so caught up on the emotional standpoint. Like, you know, remove your emotions. Unfortunately, this is business. You're still my brother, but this is business. So emotions have to be removed completely. I'm angry about tickets. I'm angry about this. Well, you're going to be angry, brother. That's part of the business. I can't change just because you know me or because we're the same age. That, now, that's something I'm having an issue with. Because of my age, you know, I don't want to listen to the orders or whatever directions I give them. But I'm like, look, you're fighting on my promotion. I'm not fighting on yours.
Right.
If it was flipped, I would listen to you. But unfortunately, you just happen to be listening to a 29-year-old fighter. They can whoop you, so you really don't want to say what you want to say.
Man, Anthony, you're the boss, dude. You're the boss. That's it.
My wife's the boss, but yes, you're right.
Yes.
I'm married.
Are you still fighting as well, or are you doing both?
I'm still fighting. Trying to set up some fights right now, but it's been hard for me to get fights because at light heavyweight, not a lot of people want to lose their O. I just say in boxing in general, everyone's trying to protect their O. That's why I love UFC, because in UFC, they don't give a damn about records.
True.
At any time, somebody can get knocked off because you're putting adversity against each other. Styles make fights.
Yeah.
In boxing, they're going to keep this guy away from this guy because of the record, so they'll never see each other. But I want to see, like, the Tommy Hearns versus Hagler, Roberto Duran versus Marvin Hagler, Roberto Duran versus Sugar Ray Leonard. Like, you see those type of fights, like, how you say his name, Alex Pereira?
Pajeda, Alex Pajeda.
Yes.
Yeah, so him fighting the kid he just fought.
Jamal Hill, yeah.
Those type of fights. Or like, I always want to see like Gil Romero fight like big meaty cruiserweights, like that big African guy he fought.
Who did UL fight? Who's talking with UL?
It's probably like, maybe it's like 2 or 3 years ago. It's before he got his eye socket broke.
Mm. Is it, you're not talking about, you're talking about Israel Adesanya.
Yes, that guy, yes.
Yes, yes, yeah. He was the middleweight champ, yeah.
Job, Jimmy. I was going to say Chris Weidman.
Yeah, and I was going to say Paulo Costa, because they had a great fight, if I remember correctly. But Paulo Costa, I think, is Latin. He's not African. But yeah, UFC is very good. I guess it's different when it's all under one promotion, too, where they give you the fights. And that's where I kind of went away from boxing a little bit, was when a lot of the fights I had wanted to see happen as the years went on didn't happen. Most notably, Tyson Holyfield took so many years, and then Tyson went to jail, and they finally did it. But even before that, I'm like, why is this taking so long to make happen? And I guess it's because of different promoters,
yes,
protect their guy, whereas the UFC is one promotion, so everybody is kind of their guy.
Everybody stays busy. Promoters, yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead. Good.
Let's say promoters, yeah, they get in the way right now with fights, because you could say you want to fight this fighter, but it's not your choice. It's whoever the promoter wants to put you against. So, you know, me, I've had a hard time getting fights because, I mean, I have 20 knockouts, not because somebody slipped on a banana and fell, you know?
Yeah.
You put them guys to sleep. So now it's just like I'm fighting adversity. Nah, we like you, but we don't want to, you're not a good fit. Get some more Instagram followers. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
Instagram followers. Like, what does that have to do with what I can do inside the ring?
Yeah, it feels like at times combat sports, sometimes they worry a lot about the name as opposed to what the guy has earned, which is the next, you know, Marab Dwalishvili, who's finally going to get a shot, I hope, at the bantamweight belt, has had to wait, I think, longer than he should have had to wait. You know, I think sometimes they look at stuff outside the ring and you're like, nah, you should just give it to him because he deserves it.
I mean, I don't even go into detail next. I'm getting angry thinking about how boxing, they don't want to give you the chance, right? They really don't. Can you imagine if Marvin Hagler had to have a social media in order to fight? Well, rewind that. Marvin Hagler didn't get his first title fight to his 42nd fight.
Yeah.
Wow. It just goes to show you, like, the same things are still going on.
I like that you keep bringing up Marvin Hagler, because he's one of my favorites, man. The fact that he goes, I must have wrecked three television sets when people keep telling me that Sugar Ray won that fight. Sugar Ray, he never put on a pair of gloves again, he said.
No, he moved to Italy and became a movie star.
Yes, he did.
That's right.
He passed away, right, Marvin?
2 years ago. It's funny. I was talking about him on the radio this morning. So bizarre. We were talking. I would always mix up Marvin Hagler. There was a fighter who used to fight in jail. And for some reason, as a kid, I thought that was Hagler. And my whole adult life, I know Bernard. I don't know if it was him or not. It might have been, but did he actually fight in jail?
Yeah, so Bernard Hopkins started boxing in prison. And actually, oh, Dwight Cowie, he became a champion in prison. And he went back to fight for his title in prison. It's Dwight Cowie.
Yeah, and that was, he's before Bernard Hopkins,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's before. We're talking about like, you're talking about 70s, 80s.
It might have been him, because I was younger when I was a kid. And I don't know why I'd always thought that was Marvin Hagler. I have no idea why.
It's just like the whole aggression and ruggedness about him. He's a little guy. You know, he's about like 5'7", and he fought George Foreman. Yes.
Wow.
Dwight Cowie, he's a slick guy. He's just bobbing and weaving. A little slick, mean buzzsaw guy.
Yes, did he win or lose against Foreman?
He didn't win, but, I mean, if you step in there, you make it out alive. I think it's a W.
Hey, did Foreman ever fight Ernie Shavers? Ernie Shavers, I think they all said, had like the fucking most horrendous, devastating punch in all of boxing.
Ever. No, that's a fight that didn't happen. But you know what? I think the most action-packed heavyweight fight I've ever seen is George Foreman versus Ron Lyles.
Ron Lyles, yeah.
Started boxing in prison, too. He got a prison, became a champion. You're talking about, like, he put George Foreman down twice? No one's ever done that. You're talking about just these big two giant linebackers, 6'4", 250-plus, going at it. Even the stare down, like, they were so close, like, their mustaches was touching. You know, the big handlebar mustache, they was close, man. But this is the fight I want to see.
I love when George Foreman made his comeback in the 40s and he would just be like that shell. And then guys would just punch themselves out on him, being like, look at this old man out here.
He knocked out Michael Moore, the first Southpaw heavyweight champion of the world. That's he actually right. Shout out Michael Moore.
Emmanuel Stewart, right?
Yes. Oh, RIP, man. I think he is one of the greatest coaches. Outside of Eddie Futch, he's one of the greatest coaches that ever walked this earth, or teachers, I would say.
Yes. So you worked with Emmanuel Stewart?
I met Emmanuel Stewart when I was about, I want to say 13, 14. I was living in the basement at times. You know, he had a little pool table. His training camp went on. So at the time, it was like Andy Lee, Dominic Darden, a couple other fighters. But, yeah, I was able to be around, you know, the legend himself, Emmanuel Stewart.
That's wild.
And what made you want to promote? Like Matt, I think, said, what made you want to do it? Is it one of those things where you're looking to the future and you see things that are wrong in promotion and you're like, I think I could do a better job than these guys are doing because I see mistakes they're making?
You know, I won't say do a better job. It's just, it's more of like demographics. In Indianapolis, where I'm at right now, there's a lot of talent here, but there's no platform to showcase the talent. And it's like, if I don't do this, then who else will? It's one of those situations. It's like I'm obligated to.
What for you is the hardest thing to get used to as a promoter? Like as a fighter, you have one thing you think of or two things. Like as a promoter, is it like the insurance or what is the most like shockingly or annoying thing as a promoter?
Putting on the promoter hat, you can't just go and punch somebody in their shit. That's the hardest part. Because at the end of the day, I'm still a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, I still have emotions and feel things that you do. But now I have to really take everything with a grain of salt because I'm a businessman at this point. So for me, I think that's probably the hardest part. Understand it's personal to me, of course, because I'm a fighter, but at the end of the day, I have to make sure it's business and remove the emotions. And especially when it's one of your friends you're talking to or someone that, you know, you grew up with and they need that opportunity and they're expecting handouts or, you know, shortcuts. And it's like, no, this is it. It's 50-50. I'm not going to put you against a bum. I'm not going to tell you it's an easy fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to happen. And when you're going to fight somebody, I guess you know, like the end result is I get to punch this guy in the face. But as the promoter, it's like, well, I got to send a text to my attorney. Like it's probably just such a different way and a less satisfying way of handling things as the promoter.
I mean, it is. But you know what? Speaking on that, I think another hard part is the fighters. The level of professionalism it kind of sucks with fighters because they don't want to – you know, send their blood work in, their paperwork, their physical, or, you know, can I get an extra room? Can I get some extra money for travel? You know, things like that behind. No, backstage stuff, you know, get a little elbow. Hey, I need this. Like, well, that wasn't in the contract, sir, so I don't really know what you're talking about.
Right. So, yeah, you find that a lot of times, like, getting somebody who's an entertainer to move and, like, you have there's business things you have to do, and if you're not sending your blood, and how often before the fight do they have to send it? How long before the fight?
So, blood work is good up to, I think, every 6 months, right, or physical. But sometimes guys already have that done, so it's great. It's the thing with when you work with guys who haven't fought in a while, it's kind of hard because they have so much paperwork and so much they have to do. But say a guy is fresh off a fight, his blood work and physical is still good for this amount of time, so we can get him, keep him busy. And my thing with this promotion is I don't sign fighters to a promotion contract. I want you to keep your independence, you know, like, you know, stay independent. go and fight here, fight here. I don't want any of that. That's blood money. Go and you take that. I don't want any of it. But in the meantime, I can give you the platform. It's insured. It's professional. It's legit without the strings attached. Go build your record.
Why, hey, man, this is what maybe what boxing needs is some new blood in the promotion area here. I mean, you got all these old people, like, and you're a young, and you're also a fighter, so you get what these emotions, what you're dealing with these guys that are hot-blooded, and you know what they're going through, and obviously you seem very easy to talk to. You know, you seem like a guy that sets those boundaries and whatnot. So, I mean, these other guys, listen, Dana is such a breath of fresh air when you deal with other promoters. I've seen some other promoters. There's guys like him, guys like Lou Neglia out of my area here. They're great guys, but they're far and few in between. I'm sure you've dealt with other promoters that are just fucking slimy. You know, I don't know. I've dealt with many, and I'm just like, ugh. That big fat guy, Gary Shaw, right? That fat fuck, I didn't like that guy. I had a guy fighting in his event. Like, hey, do you mind if I check out the cage? It's a normal thing. And I was I think I was the champion at the time in the UFC. He didn't even know me. He looked at me and goes, yeah, don't mess it up. Or something like, oh, well, you fat piece of shit. Sorry. Anyway.
You run into that a lot, though, with boxing.
It's true. Boxing. But well, hey, like, man, I wish you the best of luck, man. I like how passionate you are about it. And it's cool, man. It's cool that you said, I'm doing this because I see a lot of making a lot of money off this. You're like, somebody has to step up and do this. There's a lot of talent, no platform. Let's go. That kind of attitude, that's a good thing, man. So I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
And Anthony, one thing too, before in When We Were Kings, it was an interesting moment where they were talking about what made Don King so good, and they said how charismatic a person he is. And when you walk in the room and when he talks to you, he makes it seem like you're the most important person, and that you have something so valuable that he wants. Like, he makes people feel important, and that's a lot of times the opposite of what seemingly powerful people would appear to do. But there's ways to do that. Like, when a guy who's charismatic like that makes it seem like you're important to him, you want to do what he wants. You want to give him what he wants.
They come in and give you that one-on-one time. Like, we're about to fight. When we get in that ring, it's just me and you, nobody else. So when I speak to people, I speak to them the same fashion, one-on-one. Don King was like that, but let's remember, don't play with Don King. Don King stumped somebody out on the sidewalk.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Play with Don King. I'm saying that for a record. Anybody over here, Don King.
Yeah, Don King. He was. He definitely. I guess that was before promoting, right? He went to jail before he promoted.
I think during and after.
Oh, really? Okay.
During and after.
Well, Anthony, look. What are you promoting today? We want to make sure that you get the proper plug. Is there a particular fight you're promoting?
So I just had my fight yesterday, 420. It was Naptown Rumble 2, successful event, 6 fights. You know what? Out of the 6 fights, 4 of those fights, the guys had to go straight to the hospital because they all had stitches. You just want some good action-packed bloody fights. One guy dislocated his shoulder, it popped out. This other kid got knocked down 4 times, and he got up and finished the fight. The ball's on this guy.
Yeah.
Sounds like good matchmaking.
Yeah, good matchmaking. My main thing, too, is, like, you know, put guys in there where it's 50-50.
Yeah.
I'm not much for, like, you know, you just build your record. Well, if you're green, here's another guy who's green, so you guys can build your record and get to know the side of fighting that most people don't get to know.
Yeah.
And what is the name of the promotion, Anthony, so people can look out for it when they're out in Indianapolis or in that area?
Magic Promotions, bringing back the super phenomenon of boxing.
Magic Promotions.
Yes, sir.
And on social media, Anthony is @_themagician. That's pretty... Oh, you're 2 underscores. Sorry, I read as 1 here. _ the magician. Anthony Sims Jr., thank you. You're a really interesting guy, man. It was good talking to you.
Oh, and thank you. I appreciate it.
Amazing what you've done by the age 29 and what you're building, because, you know, for the next 15, 20 years, it's really, really smart. So it was good talking to you.
And it's great what you're doing for the fighters, man. That's really great.
Hey, after COVID, things kind of slowed down.
Yeah.
Now these purses changed a little bit. So guys are really inactive, especially with this whole influencer, boxing. It's putting a lot of guys in business. So it's like, in the meantime, let me give you the platform and keep you busy until people figure out what the hell is going on.
Well, thank you, sir, very much, and good luck. I hope you continue with it, and that it goes well for you.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I have a question, Matt. What's your neck workout, man?
My what now?
Your neck workout.
I'm blessed with a thick neck. It's 19 and a half inches. It's hard to, I don't like that. You don't see me wearing a tie too often. No, but I'm not blessed with height, Anthony, so I'm blessed with, you know, like, width. I don't know.
Hey, it's okay. The guys like you and guys I worry about. It's not the big guy.
You're the best.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anthony. You're like Don King. I feel like the most important guy in this Zoom right here. Thank you, dude. You got that same thing as Don King. You make us feel important.
I mean, I feel like that's just a human characteristic you're supposed to have when you talk to people. You shouldn't talk to them, make them feel like shit, or talk to them.
Jimmy, do you hear this from earlier?
I take the exact opposite tact. You're right. I should listen to Anthony.
Thank you.
I handle it just the opposite way when I talk to people.
You guys, he's like, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I got it. Hey, Matt, text me Jim's address so we can go and get this motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm with you, Anthony. Both of us. Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, good talking to you, man. And good luck with it, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir, very much.
That was great.
Yeah, yeah. He sounds like, yeah, I do too. His voice, his voice and his speaking pattern, he sounds like Aljamain. I thought of Aljo the whole time we were talking to him.
You know, it's nice. Sometimes I'm like, oh, we're getting a boxer on, and I don't really follow boxing. Right away, I liked that gentleman, and I thought he was great, Anthony Sims Jr., and I'm going to give him a follow after this.
Dude, 300 amateur fights. Like, the amount of combat this guy has seen by the age of 29...
So with it, man. So with it. You know?
Yeah.
Jimmy, yeah, so good luck to him. Speaking of 300, who had the last laugh? Dana White is a funny guy. Because he did a thing, or they cut something up where it's like all the MMA critics crapping on the whole 300 card, and we know what we saw.
It was amazing.
I'm not just saying that because...
You're a company man.
I am a company guy, and it matches my nice... Japanese writing on here.
Loyalty, integrity, honor, compassion.
This is the shirt of Ensign Inoue. Now, Ensign Inoue is one of the... He's a Hawaiian fighter, and he moved to Japan. So I guess he's a Japanese-Hawaiian fighter. Him and his brother, Ensign, they were tough MMA fighters. They fought in Pride. He fought in the UFC. Royce Algar, if you could look up this fight, Jimmy. He came to the UFC. There was a big buzz about Royce Algar. It's spelled like Hoyce, but it's with an R, Royce. You know, it is an R, but it's actually Royce.
A-L-G-R, Royce Algar. Yeah.
Now, he had a fight, and there was a big buzz about him coming into the UFC. And then he ended up fighting Ensign Inoue. And Ensign Inoue, he's really good in jiu-jitsu. So if you watch this fight, it's very quick.
Yes,
if first watching round. It now, you should. Because Royce takes him down. And Jimmy, you know an arm lock from the guard. You know what it does, right? It doesn't just make... When the guy taps out, you know what that is? You know what happens if you don't tap out or the guy stays on it? It breaks your arm.
Yeah.
So I would like you to see Ensign Inoue, and I'm wearing his shirt. I like the, you know, I like the old school warriors. I like the perspective. Watch this fight. And people in Fight Pass put in... I'm sorry. Is it Ensign? Yeah, Ensign. No, Ensign.
Yeah, it's UFC 13.
Yes. Ensign Inoue.
God, it looks so different. The old fights, you forget how different the old UFC fights looked. Oh, you got it right in front of you. Okay,
let's watch this fight. Now look, in the blue short is the wrestler. Watch him look for the takedown. He's a wrestler. Oh yeah. Look at that. He's gonna get on top.
Oh boy.
Look at that. He's getting on top. Tell me what happens here. He's gonna replay guard, and look at him with, on top. He's wearing wrestling sneakers. This is back in the day.
That's right.
I gotta like to get the date on this. But look, now Inson's gonna get him in the guard. His brother's eager. That's right. I don't know if I said that before. Now he's in half guard right now.
Yeah.
Once he gets the full guard, you're gonna see the problem with trying to smash somebody in the full guard. You can fold it a little bit if you want. I think that's right there now. Ready? You got an underhook. Now, on top, he's just looking to smash. Watch here right away. He gets the guard.
Yeah.
What you need is an ankle. Watch. Now, Roy's elbow is looking to punch him. Yeah.
Is he choking him?
Gloves on bottom. He's holding to hold his face and punch him in the face with the other one. Now watch how quick this arm lock goes on. He goes under the leg, I believe. It swings around his arm. Watch, it's coming. I don't want you to miss it though. Watch this right here. Watch. Get that arm.
Yep, watch, he's got it.
Nasty this is. Ready?
Ah, boy.
Watch, it's kind of nasty, Jimmy. This is. That hurts. Look at him looking at
the arm.
Yeah, so hey, respect. Respect. Hey. Sometimes we got to throw it back, Jimmy. All right. Yeah. Good. So listen. I like, and you know, you love jiu-jitsu, so I like to sometimes throw it back to the old school's warriors.
Yeah,
we had a dropout today, unfortunately, Terrence McKinney. Let's rebook Terrence, though.
Yeah, just a mix-up, I'm sure.
And we want to talk to him before because we like Terrence on. He's been on a bunch of times.
And by the way, it's funny that Anthony Sims Jr. from Indianapolis. This Saturday, I will be in Indianapolis. This Friday, I'll be in Bloomington, Illinois. So if you want to see me, come see me in Bloomington, or if you're from Indianapolis, come see me this Saturday in Indianapolis. And thank you, Anthony Sims, for coming on, Anthony Sims Jr., and I'm sure we'll have Terrence McKinney soon.
Jimmy, if you're bored, you could watch some Jim and Nikki NYC on YouTube.
My the last podcast we did, which is called Sword Fight, our podcast.
Sorry, I fucked it up.
No, you didn't. The Nikki and Jim NYC, you're right.
Oh, I didn't say that right. I'm sorry.
You did. And Sword Fight is the actual podcast. And our guest was Jen, who's my ex-girlfriend. And we had a great time to have two women fucking, they're best friends. So it's just kind of slightly irritating. But they both just kind of wanted to point out what shit I am. And, here's what my producer wrote back. Yes, I will text him. Matt is great.
Well, thank you. Kind of weird that I asked though to be on.
Well, no, you just reminded me because I want you on anyway.
You know, well, that's a day that we could actually – do you go there and then go do jiu-jitsu after?
Twice a week, but maybe next Thursday. Would that work for you next Thursday?
Yeah, let's see. You know what's weird, though? I do have my daughter's thing coming up, so I am going twice a day with my kids, so I got to see about that too. So I just basically put myself out there for nothing. You know what? How about this? Her match is the 19th of May.
Okay.
So up until then, it might be crazy, but after that, I'm
okay.
I'm easy, Jeezy. You understand?
Yes.
Oh, you Jeezy.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out.
I'm not going to do that again.
No, I don't like it.
Lil Wayne, they call Jeezy, I believe.
They do.
They call Wheezy.
Wheezy. Jeezy. Wheezy. I don't know. Lil Wayne.
Jimmy. All right. Listen, we had such a fun. I had a good time today with you.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, what is he writing to us?
Ariane Lipsky and Austin Hubbard on Wednesday show. Okay, yeah, great. They're both fighting Saturday. Awesome.
Oh, fun. They're fun. All right, yeah. Jimmy, listen, I had so much fun. I almost can't wait a couple of days to talk to you. I will.
Yeah, me too.
Don't
Jimmy, I didn't mean it like that.
Listen to me. Are you done? Did you hear what Anthony said?
I didn't mean it like that.
About making me feel special.
I didn't mean it like that. I it's going to feel like a week, but it will only be 2 days.
Jimmy, all right, man. I'll see you in a couple of days. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.